The title I got from the Holy Spirit, which was The Gathering Storm. Now, when that was mentioned, I knew exactly where it came from. Winston Churchill wrote a book in the 1940s chronicling the rise of Germany and what they were going to do to the entire world, or which they wanted to do to the entire world. And he saw the storm clouds coming from the mid-30s onwards, the rearmament. And Britain, as ever, it was just as bad in those days as Brexit. We were not prepared. We did not prepare either for the onslaught. And then we poked our nose into somebody else's business. World War II came, just like that. This message, it's rather peculiar actually. It wasn't the message I was given or I prepared in my mind. I was going to take one of the stories of Jesus and probe that one. And I'd got ready to pen the notes. And the Holy Spirit said, I don't want you to do that. And that was only 2 weeks ago. Now what then? So he told me. And that's what I'm going to bring to you today. It is quite unusual. I must admit, it's not one I would have chosen. But when the Holy Spirit says, do it, you either disobey and make a mess of everything, or do it. So that's why I'm standing here now, trying very hard to keep my knees from knocking. I'm going to read one, quite a few verses from Luke, chapter 21, and beginning at verse 7 to verse 29. It's quite a long passage. It is only part of a passage. So they asked him, saying, Teacher, but when will these signs, these things be, and what sign will there be when these things are about to happen or take place? And he said, Take heed that you are not deceived, for many will come in my name, saying, I am he. The time has drawn near. Therefore do not go after them. But when you hear of wars and commotions, do not be terrified, for these things must come up to pass first, but the end will not come immediately. Then he said to them, Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be great earthquakes in various places, and famines and pestilences, and there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. But before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you and deliver you up to the synagogues and prisons. You will be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. But it will turn out for you an occasion for testimony. Therefore, settle it in your hearts not to meditate beforehand on what you will answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake. Isn't that just like today? We're not flavour of the month anymore, Christians. But not a hair of your head will be lost. I'm already there. By your patience, possess your souls. When you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation is near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those who are in the midst of her depart, and let not them who are in the country enter her. For these are the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days, for there will be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people, and they will fall by the edge of the sword and be led away captive to all nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled by Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's heart failing them for fear, and the expectations of these things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption, it draws near. And he spoke to them a parable, look at the fig tree. But I'm not going any further. Now that was a passage that I was given. And this is what I made of it in the end. What I wasn't going to talk about was the stilling of the storm by Jesus. And as I've already said, he said, no, I don't want you to do that. The gathering storm that Jesus quite easily stopped. But we have a storm gathering now, and it's gathering and it's growing, and it won't be stopped until Jesus comes again. It's a storm which we're all involved in. There is no hiding place at all, as we see what's going to happen. We know what's going to happen. The storm that the Lord unleashes on this earth will be one that I will be glad to miss. Some of those words I here read to you were just for the Jews in AD 70, because the Romans slaughtered them and sacked the city and razed it to the ground. But it still applies to us in this day and age. But I just want to talk about, it's not exactly a lecture or even a sermon, I don't think. It's going back in time to show the spiral of sin in this country. And I was sent back quite a long way, 100 years ago, just over 100 years ago. A bit of a history lesson now. Do you remember the Balfour Proclamation? If you don't, that was a declaration by Lord Balfour, who was a high minister in this country. Not a religious minister, parliamentarian. He made a proposal that Great Britain would facilitate the return of the Jews back into Israel. We would do that. Back to their God-given lands in homeland. And Great Britain was given the mandate to do just this. Shamefully, very shamefully, this country reneged on it, and the British troops were ordered not to allow Jews to return to Israel, in spite of being given the mandate by the League of Nations. They were actively stopping the Jews from getting back into their homeland. can imagine what God thought about this, and I can imagine what God thought about what happened. A terrible thing. In the late 1930s, a ship full of escaping Jewish people from Germany, and they tried to land in Israel, but the British army stopped them from doing that. They said, get back to where you came from, you're not coming here, in words to that effect. So the ship turned round, started to make its way back, and the ship foundered and went down, and every soul on board was lost. It's bad enough at the best of times, but a Christian country, supposed Christian country, turning Jews away from their homeland when they had the power and, well, the God-given authority to let the Jews back in. How he would think of that, I cannot imagine. But I imagine he would not be very pleased about it. So, the next thing that I was told to do was to look about this country and the spiral of sin which has struck us down and made us what we are today. But first, World War II came. And as I said earlier, we were not prepared. We didn't have the arms, we didn't have the amount of soldiers that were necessary. And we would have lost hands down had the Germans, we would all be speaking German now, because they were well, well above us in our fighting capacity. And it was only by much intercession and 7 different days of prayer called by King George that this country survived. And I don't know whether any of you have heard of an intercessor called Rhys Howells. There was a book I read donkeys years ago, and God told him what was going to happen and what he had to pray for. And he spent hours, if not days, in prayer for our country. And it was that, and those days of prayer, that Britain survived. Otherwise, as I say, we would be speaking German. It's a terrible spiral of sin. I'm old enough now to go back quite a long way. And as I started to make a list, it grew and grew and grew. So I had to cut it down. But I'm going back to the 1950s when I was much younger and I had a full head of hair. Everything seemed to change. There was a sea change in the atmosphere. And I was a teenager in those days, and I was aware of what was, you know, the latest pop songs and all that silly business. And there was a change in attitude. Authority was there to be tested, and if possible, overcome. And there was what you might call authority was flouted quite successfully as well, and that's why kids are like they are today. It grew. And I've got down here radical changes in attitudes and behaviour. And there was a gentleman with his group, came from America in the mid-50s to bring us rock and roll. How good of him. Prior to that time, all the songs were silly, sentimental rubbish. But he changed all that. Rock and roll in those days was an absolute turnaround, and anybody above 30 were horrified by it. Do you remember it, Roy?
No.
No. I thought I had an ally. I mean, this one, Bill Haley, I don't know whether that name rings a bell. Yeah, he had a Kiss girl. And he brought rock and roll to us. And the film called Rock Around the Clock, wow. Cinemas were full of it. Even I went to see one. Not known by my parents, I will add. But it was a sea change in music. I enjoyed it, actually. I thought it was great. Get rid of all that old tripe, you know, and let's have some real groovy stuff, as they called it. I don't know whether any of you remember the greeting and the goodbyes. See you later, alligator. In a while, a crocodile. That does date me, doesn't it? Yeah, great stuff. But the real changes happened in the early 60s, and we had flower power then, great stuff. Sexual revolution, open sex if you wanted it, get on with it. Well, drug making began, and it's always been there. In the 19th century, we had opium wars so as we could have all the opium in this country. But this was more teenagers and young people wanted to try grass, they used to call it. You remember? Cannabis to us. But a politician, I think his name was Crossman, stood up one day and said, "This is a permissive society. You can do what you like. No restrictions." Green light, wasn't it? And the youngsters took it up. I was a bit older by then, so I didn't. Not content with all that, being a permissive society, in 1967, Parliament passed two wonderful laws legalising homosexuality and lesbianism and abortion, not on actually on demand. But when these acts were passed, it was hedged in with all sorts of restrictions, it was only when and only and all that, totally ignored now, of course. And I have a feeling that there was a big scandal in Parliament because of MPs, and it's risen its mucky head up lately. There were paedophiles and homosexuals, and many of them were caught touting for what they called rent boys, I think. Well, these safeguards, as I say, were totally ignored, or now totally ignored. And this was real rebellion against God's laws. And this country really has never recovered from it. Because if you disagree with homosexuality and say so, you're the one that's in trouble. And if you disagree with abortion on demand, you're the one in trouble. In fact, you can get charged for upsetting people these days, can't you? It shows how crazy it is. And of course, abortion, it's really child murder, isn't it? When you boil it down, is child murder in the womb. And there's they're trying now to get it up to the day before the child is born. You can kill it. And so far, the average of abortions per week is 500 in this country. And since that act came into power, there's nearly 9 million children been aborted, which makes us into a blood guilty nation. And God hates the spilled blood of a child, or even a child is upset, if that's the right word. He's promised retribution on those who harm children, and he'll carry it out. But when you think of all the terrible things that's happening to children now because of men, foolish men across the world, is going to be busy, isn't he, with these people who, I mean, that Asian woman who's lost the third baby because of evil men, and someone who will have to pay for it. I told you it would be different, didn't I? And now what have we got? The latest wonderful idea. Gender reassignment. Kids are being brainwashed with this, and they're going to be even more brainwashed when they're 5 years, 4 or 5 years old in school. It's going to be compulsory, and parents won't be allowed to take the children out, which to me is, what are parents for? Just to bring a child into the world and be owned by the state, in other words. And who's against it? Probably all of us here are. But what can we do about it? Writing letters don't get answered. Emails are ignored. MPs just mutter platitudes. Yes, we'll look into it for you. Yes, just leave it with us. And if you leave it with them, nothing ever happens. Because our nation has rejected God, he has just allowed us to go our own way, as he does. If you want to be a sinner, be a sinner. I'd rather you were a Christian, I'd rather you were one of mine, but if you want to be sinful, get on with it. But I do love you and I do want you to be mine. That's how our God is, isn't it? But he allows us free will. But all is not lost. As Rob mentioned this morning, we are a remnant. And God always works through remnants. All through the Old Testament, he worked through remnants. There weren't that many disciples, were there, that Jesus had? And in the upper room on, 120 were there on Resurrection Day, Pentecost. Not a great deal, as you think, to get the message throughout the world, but they did. And we can, can't we? We can. We've got a mouth. Well, most of us have. Some more than others. So let me ask you a question or two. Or three or four even. Whose world is it? Is it mine? Is it yours? The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness. He owns the world. No group, no world leaders, they don't own the world. They will pass. All those dictators who were going to rule the world are somewhere in a grave. And that's what happens to them. Who is in full control of events and will not allow either the devil or mankind to destroy his world? Again, the answer is the Lord, isn't it? It's letting men have a good go before he clamps down on them. And who is the head of the church? It's not Rob, is it, Rob?
It's not the Queen, either.
No, it's not the Queen. It's not the Pope. It's not any Archbishop. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. Period. And what can the worldwide church, in particular the UK, do in these current days? Something or nothing. And I've got one or two little titles here. Now there's a negative. A negative is not much. Shall we keep the status quo? Are we happy with what it is here today? Empty pews could do with filling, with people clamouring to know about the Lord, or having clamoured, I've known him and would be here. It would be wonderful if every church building that's still open were absolutely full of people worshipping the Lord, wouldn't it? Can we do it? I can't, but the Lord can. This is the positive side. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 17. It's a very long word, isn't it? Pray without ceasing. Easy peasy, isn't it? Yeah. The second one, Luke 18 verse 1. Men always ought to pray and not to lose heart. So easy, isn't it, to lose heart? So easy. Oh well, nothing worked. It didn't happen. Oh well. Matthew 9 verses 37 and 38. Jesus speaking. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plenty, but the labourers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of harvest to send out labourers into his harvest." And who is he going to send? There's 20 of us here today. Not a lot. A little remnant. But God works through remnants, doesn't he? Next one. John 4 verse 35. Do you not say, there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. Where is this harvest? It's the other side of those doors, isn't it, at the back there? Where we live, where we shop, where we do anything. That's where the harvest is. And we've got to be reapers. Sharpen our sickles and get reaping. And next one, 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 2. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. Alright, so we've got one standing up this morning preaching from here. But we can preach in the street, where we shop, our neighbours. You don't have to make a long sermon of it, just a few words here and there, telling them about the Lord and what he does, how good he is, how wonderful he is. And then John chapter 9 verse 4. And this one is for us, because if Jesus said it and wants to do it, we have to do it too. I must work the works of one of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. There will come a time when we're not able to witness, that we're not able to preach the word in season and out of season. So this must be for us. We must take it on board, mustn't we? It seemed to me as I turned up these scriptures that we can't leave it there. We can't say, oh, thank you, Mike, and go home and have our lunch. That's the end of the matter. Well, it might be for my preaching and what have you, but we can't have it as a theory, can we? It has to be done. It has to be acted upon. It's all very well talking, as we've seen so much in the last 2.5 years. The politicians talk and talk. It's almost like dogs yapping, isn't it? Yap, 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 yap. We have to do a little bit more than that. But we don't have to go out at half cock. We need the Holy Spirit to tell us how he wants us to do this, to go out and pursue the Great Commission. We need it. We need it tomorrow. In fact, we need it today. We have to do it under the power of the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, we'll just make a sheer hash of it. Now, I have to leave you, you deacons, to organise something for us. I thought that half-day prayer meeting in at the end of January on the Saturday morning was a wonderful time together, wasn't it? And the Lord was pleased with us. He enjoyed our worship and our praise. And that's the way to do it, to get together, to pray, to rejoice, to worship, lift him up in our minds and our hearts, and pray without ceasing, and don't lose heart if it doesn't happen tomorrow or the next day. It will come. And I, for one, want to walk out of that hospital and do it again. So we just pray for a moment. Oh, Heavenly Father, how we need you. How we need you to tell us what to do next. Those of us here today, what is it you want us to do? And how is it you want us to do it? And when shall we start? Lord, lead us. Lead us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.